HIV tests are turning positive after COVID vaccination. A globalist talking head makes surprising statements about Donald Trump, and Dr. David Martin issues a chilling message about the next terror campaign on the world. All of these stories and more tonight. I'm Maria Zee of ZMedia.com, and this is Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout. Welcome back, everyone, to another huge week with huge news stories. Number 10 this week, Dr. David Martin says that the next terror campaign on the world is already being planned. The World Economic Forum held a 47-minute meeting in Davos this week titled Preparing for Disease X. In that meeting, Tedros, the Director General of the World Health Organization, warned that the next pandemic is not a matter of if, but when. I'll also note that he added that in order to prepare for Disease X, we need the world to enter into the WHO's pandemic agreement. Really? Technologist and entrepreneur Dr. David Martin, often known for his viral address to the European Parliament, agrees, but from a slightly different perspective. He said during a space hosted on X that the next terror campaign on the world is already being planned. Let's have a listen to what he has to say.
But the fact of the matter is, what's happening in Davos right now is the planning phase, not unlike the Bretton Woods summit was in 1944, July of 1944, when Bretton Woods set in motion all this nonsense. The fact of the matter is what they're doing right now is they're planning the sequence of events where they can actually cascade another terror campaign, which then triggers not only the need for allegedly another medical countermeasure, but it also this time is going to involve the other piece that they failed to achieve with the COVID campaign, which is the eradication of cash-based transactions in commercial interaction. Because it turns out that one of the things that they desperately need to do is to make sure that they have central control on the flow of value exchange and the mapping of the networks associated with that. And because of that, it's critical that they plan better than they did with COVID, because they blundered their way into COVID. And unfortunately, they did not do the full control takeover that they wanted, which is exactly what is on the agenda.
Dr. Martin says that this is exactly what is on their agenda in Davos this week. We've heard attendees discussing how a digital ID is required, for example, to be able to track a person's vaccination status. Cue in every government racing to get this implemented this year. We've heard about the race for artificial intelligence and central bank digital currencies. It's all leading up to the point of total global control and dominance under the one world government model. The Bound report on InfoWars released an interesting video regarding Disease X. Let's take a look at some of that now.
Who knows what their internal numbers are, but as far as we can pull together, the psychos at Davos 2024 are gleefully celebrating their victorious genocide of 17 million people from their poisonous jabs, with far more in their sights. The unelected so-called health experts at Davos 2024 are now prioritizing Disease X, the final solution to solidify New World Order domination. How did we get here? It began with utilizing COVID hysteria. Dr. Fauci blew up the age-old regulatory process for testing new vaccines in order to bring in a host of DNA-altering technology. COVID has since been proven to have been created in a lab. Disease X is lab-driven from the outset. Decades of researching human genes in mice and other animals and the discovery of ancient diseases have resulted in the World Economic Forum nonchalantly predicting that Disease X, with a 100% kill rate, could spread across the world in as little as 36 hours, killing upwards of 80 million people. Research has been ongoing at the UK's high-security, state-of-the-art facility in Porton Down, where a threat list grows of animal viruses capable of infecting humans. Meanwhile, the United States Congress is pushing the bioresearch bill, H.R. 3832, to further U.S. labs' research of Disease X. Disease X represents far more than a pandemic of untold mass death. Disease X allows the pharma billionaires behind it to become trillionaires. Funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation supported CEPI to invest $1.2 million in a startup to create under-the-tongue vaccine wafers for needle-free vaccines against Disease X, while simultaneously allowing the World Health Organization's pandemic treaty to reach into sovereign nations and bypass their governments, a policy-shifting Trojan horse that was rehearsed at the Clade X tabletop exercise by the Johns Hopkins Center in Washington, D.C. in 2018.
Exceptional reporting by Bound. You can see the full clip on band.video. So there you have it. They're ready to go. But the question is, when will they press the button? Well, one thing is very different this time around. The unsuspecting public is not so unsuspecting anymore. Too many people are aware of the various methods of fear, propaganda, and lies that are being used by these organizations. And too many are aware of their goal for a one-world government, one-world health dictatorship, and one-world harm. We're sure of this. Not so many will comply this time around. We're watching them closely. And now a message from our sponsor, The Wellness Company. Everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where The Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even a bioweapon like the plague, The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe. So go to twc.health/blackout today and order. That's twc.health/blackout and use the promo code blackout to save 10%. Yuval Noah Harari is one of Barack Obama's favorite authors and a frequent speaker at Davos, and he's made some shocking statements in an interview with Stephen Bartlett, a British YouTuber who runs the channel The Diary of a CEO. In previous broadcasts, we've covered how Yuval Noah Harari says that humans are hackable creatures lacking true free will. The only creature in this room is this little garden gnome who wants to tell us that we're worth nothing, that our free will somehow doesn't matter. And in a past interview, he raised the big political and economic question of the 21st century, which is, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for? He's also made statements about how humans aren't really going to be useful for anything, so we'll just drug them and distract them with video games, and we've aired that before. But he seems to now acknowledge that globalist viewpoints, including his own, are becoming increasingly unpopular. When he was asked the question, are you concerned that Trump might be elected again shortly? Harari responded, I think it's very likely. Listen to what he says.
Are you concerned that Trump might be elected again shortly?
I think it's very likely. And if it happens, it is likely to be the kind of like the death blow to what remains of the global order. And he says it openly. Now, again, it should be clear that many of these politicians, they present a false dichotomy, a false binary vision of the world, as if you have to choose between patriotism and globalism, between being loyal to your nation and being loyal to some kind of, I don't know, global government or whatever.
As if you have to choose between patriotism and globalism, between being loyal to your nation and being loyal to some kind of, oh, I don't know, global government or whatever. Well, yes, Harari, you do have to reject globalism in order to be loyal to your nation, because the version of globalism that you and your friends at Davos and the UN are presenting is a complete loss of individuality and a transition into a hive mind drone existence lived out in the metaverse where venturing out beyond your 15-minute city is punishable by death, be it the death of your bank account, the death of your social credit score, or actual death, who knows with these guys. What they're doing is selling globalism as though it's a bunch of worldly neighbours getting together, comparing notes on what's best for the neighbourhood. But what it actually is a globalist elite, globalist takeover, in the form of a global dictatorship, where you have no say in what's best for you, your loved ones, your health, or anything for that matter. Rejecting globalism means rejecting being referred to as a one world citizen, an AI world citizen, and an object, as the UN 100 and Boston Global Forum refer to humans as. It means rejecting the United Nations replacement migration agenda, which is steadily destroying national identity through mass immigration, whilst telling us the refugee crisis is due to your made-up climate change narrative. And it means rejecting BlackRock owning absolutely everything in existence while we ship off all manufacturing to foreign nations and destroy our own country's prosperity. And look at this guy, downplaying the idea of a global government when the United Nations implemented their political declaration in September of 2023, despite 11 nations staunchly opposing the proposal that in essence declares Antonio Guterres as the dictator of the world in the event of any emergency, including a pandemic, climate crisis, an event in outer space, or a black swan event. They didn't tell you about that in all of their televised talks from Davos this year, though, did they? So no, Yuval, no Frankenstein, transhumanism, loss of human life and individuality pushing will be accepted by us. We don't actually have any loyalty to your regime and ideas, and we won't. And neither will Donald Trump or any leader duly elected by the people in future. The people have simply had enough of the idea that destroying humanity is somehow good for us. And on rejecting globalism, because it's all intertwined, NBC has censored an NFL star praising Jesus during a post-game interview, a common practice of the mainstream media because media outlets aligned with the globalist structure would love to erase Jesus from society. NBC was called out after removing an NFL star's profession of his Christian faith from a post-game interview posted to social media. On Saturday, the Houston Texans walloped the Cleveland Browns during the wild card round of the playoffs. Following the game, Texans rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud was approached for a live interview by NBC sports reporter Catherine Tappan. C.J., your first playoff game and your first NFL season and a record-setting performance for you. What does this moment mean? Tappan asked. First and foremost, I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Stroud responded. He went on to express appreciation for the city of Houston and Texans fans who have cheered him on. But a short time later, the network posted a clip of the interview on social media, but users noticed that it had been edited to remove Stroud's comments about Jesus. Take a look.
First and foremost, I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's been amazing being...
What does this moment mean?
I mean, it's been amazing being in this city for as short as I've been.
This is yet another example, a shameless one at that, from the mainstream media to censor sports personalities or anyone for that matter from professing their faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a growing consensus among many Christians worldwide that there have been concerted efforts by the media and even governments to silence anyone's efforts when professing the name of Jesus. In fact, in recent times in Australia, one of the major mainstream media outlets, which has dwindling viewership by the way these days, decided to cancel Christmas celebrations. Many organisations somehow claim this is in order to be inclusive to everyone, whilst excluding Christians. Many of those organisations continue to celebrate other religious days, however. And it's interesting because any Christians who dare to call out this double standard are told that they are being bigoted. Uninclusive. This entire narrative across the board worldwide of labelling Christians as far-right extremists and dumping them into the category of terrorists is on the rise. In fact, last year, the taxpayer-funded ABC in Australia featured a so-called extremism expert who, on national television, advised people to report to anyone who believes in the last book of the Bible to the police as they are likely a terrorist. But Christians worldwide will remain ever stalwart in their faith and reject these claims emphatically, particularly as there are zero examples in today's society of any acts of terrorism by Christian believers. The Christian message is about love, loving your neighbour, loving your enemy, peace and goodwill to all, so it seems very strange indeed that they would be subject to these kinds of attacks, accusations and censorship. As far as the NBC goes, backlash against the edit has been stiff, with virtually every popular reply to the post blasting them for censoring Stroud. NBC has not addressed the controversy at the time of this writing. Well, John Kerry and his staffers aren't too happy about being confronted on their climate hypocrisy. Joe Biden's soon-to-be former climate envoy John Kerry was ambushed on the streets in Davos, Switzerland, at the World Economic Forum's annual meeting by a Rebel News crew. And they asked him, do you think it's worth it? Peasants pay for your crimes. What's the carbon footprint for these events every single year? And John Kerry claims that's a stupid question. Let's take a look.
What's the carbon footprint of these events every single year that you come here? Do you think it's worth it? Peasants pay for your crimes?
That's a stupid question.
Is it really? Is it more stupid than you travelling here to tell us? Please, sorry?
We're done. We are done now.
You don't grab me. You can't grab us. This is a free society, mate. We have freedom of the press. Why do you think you're more important? Your carbon footprint doesn't matter, but everybody else around the world
suggested that. Nobody ever suggested that. Don't make up stupid questions.
But that absolutely is John Kerry's attitude. In fact, he's made statements like that before. A perfect example of his hypocrisy was flying to receive an environmental award. I mean, it's hilarious. But he was asked by a Yahoo News reporter in the past about all these so-called elites flying to Davos, and listen to what he says.
People who go to Davos to talk about climate change fly private. It seems like they don't want to make...
I've talked to them about it. They offset. They buy offsets, they offset, and they are working harder than most people I know to be able to try to affect this transition.
Right.
Hear that, everyone? John Kerry has talked to his friends at Davos, and they're offsetting their carbon emissions, so it's all good. Enjoy your crickets and drinking out of a soggy paper straw, because John Kerry and his friends' emissions don't matter, because they, in all of their other trustworthy claims, say they offset, and that somehow makes a difference. Now, resolving to eat healthier this year was easy. Actually doing so, not so easy. Better nutrition is a key to health and longevity, and a healthy diet could even help you avoid health risks that run in your family. Field of Greens is our healthy superfruit and vegetable habit. It's the only fruit and vegetable product that literally promises better health. At your next health checkup, your doctor will notice your improved health or your money back. Do your vitamins or green drinks promise better health? Nope. Each superfruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for a specific health benefit. Some support your heart, lungs, and kidneys. Others support metabolism for healthy energy and weight loss. Look, if you resolve to get healthier in 24, it starts with Field of Greens. We got you 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code BLACKOUT. That's promo code BLACKOUT at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Well, we heard it first from Roger Stone in July of 2023, and now a new report, Michelle Obama angling to replace Joe Biden for president. According to New York Post legendary gossip columnist Cindy Adams, she reports that Barack and Michelle Obama are angling to replace Joe Biden with former First Lady Michelle as the Democrats' 2024 presidential nominee. Obama world was rocked when Donald Trump short-circuited the Obama revolution to remake America when he defeated would-be Obama successor Hillary Clinton in 2016 and has taken merciless revenge on President Trump ever since. Barack Obama is thought by many to be the behind-the-scenes power of the Biden presidency. But with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris having some of the worst polling numbers for incumbents seeking a second White House term, and Trump leading Biden in most polls, it appears the Obamas are quietly laying the groundwork for Michelle to step in and save the Obama revolution. Adams reports that Michelle Obama has surveyed Dem Biggies about her potential candidacy and in 2022 reportedly told a gathering of CEOs in New York City that she was running. Gossip? Rumor? or trial balloon leaks to gauge public support and democratic reaction. Michelle made headlines earlier this month with a podcast interview in which she said, things that keep me up because, you know, you don't have control over them. And you wonder, where are we in this? You know, where are our hearts? What's going to happen in this next election? I'm terrified about what could possibly happen because our leaders matter, who we select, who speaks for us, who holds that bully pulpit. If it affects us in ways that I think people take for granted. 2016 GOP presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz has said several times over the past year that he believes the Democrats will replace Biden with Michelle Obama. A Breitbart excerpt here, according to Cruz, if by the time of the Democratic National Convention in August, Biden's mental diminishment worsens, it becomes obvious to anyone that he can't find his shoes and Democrats begin worrying, the event will serve as an opportunity to parachute a replacement in. Indeed, the New York Post column by Cindy Adams names Barack Obama as the orchestra leader. Excerpt here, we've heard this drumbeat for a while, now it's louder. Plans are to grab Michelle for the Democratic presidency choice, making the music, is Barack the orchestra leader? Michelle says she's terrified Trump will win. No casual burp. Was programmed. She sent a survey to Dem Biggies asking their feelings about her candidacy. Obama's quietly angling for Joe to go. He's weaseled up to this for a few weeks. Mouths aren't talking. Big mouths are knowing. Butt mouths are knowing, I should say. Over 1 year ago, summer of 2022, she was in New York City meeting several big hedge CEOs and said, I'm running and I'm asking for your support. A Joe flop out offers probability Michelle could wiggle in. Obama's negotiating to make that happen. And the article closes with, an Obama-Trump election would be a battle for the ages. A Thunderdome battle for the future of America, where two men enter and one man leaves. HIV tests are turning positive after COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccination and infection. 9 separate studies have reported. Here's Dr. McCullough speaking on the issue.
9 studies are reporting false positive HIV tests. And so I want people to understand the HIV test can turn positive after COVID-19 and as well as the vaccine. Now, it's not AIDS, because the virus is not there, the HIV virus is not there. But what the concern is maybe a form of immunodeficiency is there. And this can be both after COVID as well as after the vaccine. At our U.S. congressional hearing, January 12, 2024, Dr. Ryan Cole did show the data from Shretha and colleagues, Cleveland Clinic, 51,000 Cleveland Clinic employees. The more COVID vaccines that were taken, the highest risk for recurrent COVID over and over again. So we see some very severe syndromes, reactivation of varicella zoster, Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus. It's extraordinary. And now this false positive HIV test. Now, the question is, I know it's not HIV, but is it implying immunodeficiency.
Right.
So this Australian investigation into VAIDS, vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome, led by Melissa McCann, I think will be very important because we do need some scholarship on this.
Yeah.
I've become pretty convinced that COVID itself worsens someone's immunity and the vaccine, and most people who took the vaccine got COVID and took the vaccine since the vaccines don't work. They're even more deep in a hole on immunodeficiency.
So on the Shannon Joy Show, renowned cardiologist and epidemiologist Dr. Peter McCullough raised eyebrows when he reported that 9 separate studies now confirm that HIV tests are turning positive after COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccination and the virus itself. And he did clarify, as you just heard, that HIV virus isn't there, indicating a false positive, but the big concern is immunodeficiency. Dr. McCullough cited a 2022 study from the Cleveland Clinic that showed that people who took at least 3 COVID injections were up to 3 times more likely to have recurrent COVID-19 infections than uninjected individuals. And you can see a picture from that study there. The authors of the study stated the association of increased risk of COVID-19 with higher numbers of prior vaccine doses in our study was unexpected. Dr. McCullough also expressed that he was convinced that both COVID and the injections worsen immunity. And you can see the quote there that he ended on during that video. It's worth noting that some of us conspiracy theorists were warning about this quite some time ago. In fact, in March of 2022, I interviewed Dr. Stephanie Seneff, who has actually authored papers with Dr. Peter McCullough on this very topic. COVID vaccines are causing neurodegenerative disease and VADs. You can go to zmedia.com to the interviews page and search the term VADs where you will find that interview. You'll also find an interview with the late Dr. Vladimir Zelenko from that time on the New World Order, Real Agenda, and VADs as well. And speaking of the beloved and late Dr. Zelenko, someone I and the Vigilant News Network would consider a friend, he saved countless lives during COVID and is continuing to do so with his powerful formula, Z-Stack. If the COVID pandemic taught us anything, it's that you have to take control of your own family's health. You can't rely on the government or Big Pharma. That's why many of you count on Z-Stack. Did you know that there is a specially formulated version of Z-Stack made for people who took the vaccine? It's called Z-Detox. Z-Detox contains vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, NAC, and ECGC. Dr. Zelenko's Z-Detox formula was especially created for individuals with weakened immune systems, especially those weakened by the COVID-19 injections and boosters. As most of you know, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko was the world-renowned doctor that President Trump credited with his successful early treatment protocol and his decision to take hydroxychloroquine. If you were forced to take the vaccine, if you have friends or family members who took the vaccines, order Z-Detox today and help your immune system fight back. Supercharge your immune system. Go to zstacklife.com/blackout and order today. And use the promo code blackout to save an additional 15%. Well, another groomer has been exposed for the pedophile that any adult obsessed with teaching children about sex is also likely to be. And our next story proving this will make your stomach turn. It involves an ex-teacher upset with the term groomer that's been sentenced to 17 years in prison for producing child pornography. A former Hawaii teacher, Alden Bunag, was sentenced to 17 years in federal prison for making child porn. Bunag was very upset with right-wingers on popularizing the term groomers. Prosecutors said that he taped repeated sexual activity with a 13-year-old student in a classroom and sent it to others. Investigators found thousands of videos and photos of child pornography in his possession, some of which showed underage boys bound and in pain. He says, "I have such deep regret for what I've done that I ended up developing depression and anxiety, as well as a firm determination to get the treatment and support I need to never do this again," said Bunag. When Bunag is done serving 17 years behind bars, he will be on federal probation for the next 15 years. Kanakawa the Great attached a side-by-side photo of Bunag's remarks with a post written by Star Advertiser. He says, "You're effing acting like we want to show kids porn or something. But something I've learned through the years is that whenever right-wingers accuse others of something, it's definitely because they're projecting," Bunag wrote. This particular comment did not age too well. Look at this. "It's definitely because they're projecting." My goodness. More revealing statements were attached. He says, "I'm doing my part to destroy Western civilization by being a," this is actually someone else that said this, "I'm doing my part to destroy Western civilization by being a bossy woman who dates a femboy. What are you doing?" And he replied, that being Bunag, "Trying to tear down gender roles and subtly instill socialist values into my high schoolers and elementary kids." Another screenshot exposed his hypocrisy. He responded to one ex-user, "So you want kids to be completely ignorant about sex? Which is true, because pedos like you can fill them up and they won't understand what's going on and verbalize it to their parents or others. Also, talking about LGBT does not require discussing sex whatsoever. Pedos like you," he accuses the other person of. In another instance, Bunag argued with an ex-user, "You have yet to demonstrate why teaching kids basic sex ed and discussing gender or sexuality with them is grooming, while I've repeatedly explained why. Don't tell me to effing Google anything. This is also why no one should take you guys seriously. You can never back anything up." After reading the expose on Bunag, ex-influencer D. Schlopes is back wrote, "You love to see it. 17 years in prison. What an absolute piece of so-and-so." The federal criminal information alleges Bunag, in online chats with a Philadelphia teacher, said he had sex with a 13-year-old former student during lunch breaks at school. Bunag also said he used camera equipment to record multiple sexual encounters with the boy. The state indictment charges him with 3 counts of continuous sexual assault of a minor under the age of 14 for allegedly engaging in 3 or more sexual acts from August of 16 till September 2017. We are witnessing the total decline of Western civilization through this revamped gay and trans agenda, which is targeting children in this manner and demonizing anyone who dares to call out that it may lead to pedophilia as some sort of bigot. We have more and more examples of activists like this being exposed for being the very groomers they despise to be associated with. These are the types of people telling the world we should cut off children's genitals, give them hormone blockers to make them infertile, and trying to convince people that teaching young children about sex in a graphic manner is somehow liberating. The Daily Mail recently reported that half of the WHO's Transgender Health Committee members have no medical background and the majority are activists. The World Health Organization have many publications on how children need to be educated about sex from as early as possible. Many activists in the gay community, for example, Gays Against Groomers, have been speaking out about the issue of child grooming and the hijacking of their community for what is a far more sinister agenda. Cases like this are all the more reason that all people who believe in protecting children from predators like Bunag need to not only be vocal, but on high alert for any encouragement of sexualizing children. In a previous broadcast, I addressed the 8 March Principles report, which the United Nations endorses, which arguably calls for the legalization of sex with minors. This news was also featured on a Tucker Carlson broadcast in 2023. It's simply sick. No mentally sound person would have any interest in sex with a child, and anyone who opposes this really does need to look at the root of the promotion of such behaviors. Maybe start with the UN. Our next story, NBC News admits a deep state exists, but with a twist. They're there to save us from Trump's return. I'm going to take you through this whole article because it's fascinating. So, the last time that Donald Trump got within striking distance of the Oval Office in 2016, the Clinton campaign, the Obama administration, and various foreign accomplices invented a hoax accusing the real estate tycoon of being a secret Russian agent who would use the power of the United States to do Vladimir Putin's bidding. Which begs the question, why wouldn't Putin have just invaded Ukraine when his puppet, Trump, wouldn't have waged a proxy war? And when Donald Trump asked Ukraine about obvious corruption by the Biden family, one of the key deep state players in his impeachment behind the scenes was none other than Mary McCord, who went from taking down Michael Flynn after the FBI set him up to helping Rep. Adam Schiff to peddle a whistleblower complaint about Trump's Ukraine call. Well, McCord is back with a new hoax to peddle, telling NBC News that the deep state is preparing for Trump's return and is taking action to limit his ability to become a dictator and use the military to those ends. We're already starting to put together a team to think through the most damaging types of things that he, meaning Trump, might do so that we're ready to bring lawsuits if we have to. McCord, executive director of the Institution for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection at Georgetown Law, told the outlet. The quotes from this fine piece of yellow journalism from NBC are simply hilarious. Donald Trump is sparking fears among those who understand the inner workings of the Pentagon that he would convert the nonpartisan US military into the muscular arm of his political agenda as he makes comments about dictatorship and devalues the checks and balances that underpin the nation's 2-century-old democracy. Another, a circle of appointees independent of Trump's political operations, steered him away from ideas that would have pushed the limits of presidential power in his last term. In a new term, many former officials worry that Trump would instead surround himself with loyalists unwilling to say no. He's a clear and present danger to our democracy. His support is solid, and I don't think people understand what living in a dictatorship would mean. I think they do. They just witnessed it under Joe Biden and COVID measures. Anyway, I digress. There are an array of horrors that could result from Donald Trump's unrestricted use of the Insurrection Act. What have the Democrats been accusing Jan 6 protesters of? What have they been subjecting Donald Trump to, claiming that he is guilty of an insurrection. I mean, these people, it's pure projection, pure projection. The military is hundreds of thousands of people strong, and ultimately Trump will find people to follow his legal orders no matter what. The Insurrection Act is a legal order, and if he orders it, there will be military officers, especially younger men and women, who will follow that legal order. This one might be the best. We're about 30 seconds away from the Armageddon clock when it comes to democracy, said William Cohen, a former Republican senator from Maine and defense secretary in the Clinton administration. I think that's how close we're coming to it when you have a presidential candidate who can be indicted on 91 counts, who can be found liable for sexual aggression, who we have seen lies pathologically, who has flouted every rule in the book. My goodness. So the narrative is that Trump is going to appoint loyal peons to serve democracy and declare himself a subvert democracy and declare himself a dictator. But wait, the deep state cavalry is here. Now, bracing for Trump's potential return, a loose-knit network of public interest groups and lawmakers is quietly devising plans to try to foil any efforts to expand presidential power, which could include pressuring the military to cater to his political needs. Part of the aim, they say, is to identify like-minded organizations and create a coalition to challenge Trump from day one. Those taking part in the discussions said, some participants are combing through policy papers being crafted for a future conservative administration. They're also watching the interviews that Trump allies are giving to the press for clues to how a Trump sequel would look. Other participants include Democracy Forward, an organization that took the Trump administration to court more than 100 times during his administration, and Protect Democracy, an anti-authoritarian group. Senator Richard Blumenthal is crafting a bill that would clarify the act and give Congress and the courts some say in its use. Its chances of passage are slim, given that Republicans control the House and are largely loyal to Trump. A body of people, typically influential members of government agencies or the military, believed to be involved in the secret manipulation or control of government policy. That's their deep state noun there. And so we see Twitter users saying, or X users, that the NBC News just admitted that the deep state exists. And they say, we are preparing for litigation and preparing to use every tool in the toolbox that our democracy provides to provide the American people an ability to fight back, according to Sky Perryman, president of Democracy Forward. We believe that this is an existential moment for American democracy, and it's incumbent on everyone to do their part. Ah, yes, another existential moment. Where were all of these democracy protection groups as they witnessed the Joe Biden regime bringing false allegations against his strongest political opponent? These people are absolutely terrified of Trump because they're terrified of freedom. God forbid someone enters into power who actually represents what the people want, which is completely rejecting these globalists that seek to dominate every aspect of our lives. It's worth mentioning that a group of House Republicans led by Pennsylvania Rep. Scott Perry introduced legislation on Thursday to defund the World Economic Forum. Titled the Defund Davos Act, the legislation would specifically block the State Department, USAID, and any other federal agency from providing funding to the World Economic Forum. The US has spent millions on the WEF over the years, something Perry and other GOP lawmakers says needs to end. President Trump also promised this week that he will never introduce a central bank digital currency. The tide is turning, and they know it. Now, before we get into our next story this week, I want to tell you about Naked Organs and their bison trifecta. Scientists have studied the Swampy Cree Native American tribe for years, wondering how they maintain such exceptional health. In addition to a diet of simple, natural, and raw foods, the Cree's ancient practice of consuming bison organs is credited with their exceptional health. Their bison organs are one of the most nutrient-rich, bioavailable, and sustainable sources of vital nutrients known to man. These bison organs are Mother Nature's miracle, providing nutritional and hormonal support like no other food source on Earth, and now they are available to us from the great company Naked Organs. Bison Trifecta, the company's best-selling product, supports heart health, cognitive function, athletic performance, nurtures liver health, and provides immune support and combats inflammation. Go to holisticgoddess.com/blackout and order today. Use promo code blackout to save an additional 10%. Our next story this week, Argentinian President Javier Milei has promoted freedom at Davos 2024. Before taking the stage at Davos during the World Economic Forum's series of annual meetings, Argentinian President Javier Milei said he wanted to plant the ideas of freedom in a forum that is contaminated by the 2030 socialist agenda. We'll get back to that in a bit more detail shortly. Well, he did just that and more. Introduced by none other than Klaus Schwab, Milei warned a room of collectivists about the problems with collectivism, and we encourage everyone to go to the article and watch some of those clips that have been taken out there. The main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. We're here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world. Rather, they are the root cause. Radical feminism and population control mechanisms were not spared either. Milei quickly denounced both matters. He also did the unthinkable. He criticized the most fundamental control mechanism of all, taxation. Let's listen to that clip.
They say that capitalism is evil because it's individualistic and that collectivism is good because it's altruistic, of course, with the money of others. So they therefore advocate for social justice. But this concept, which in the developed world became fashionable in recent times, in my country has been a constant in political discourse for over 80 years. The problem is that social justice is not just, and it doesn't contribute either to the general well-being. Quite on the contrary, it's an intrinsically unfair idea because it's violent. It's unjust because the state is financed through tax. And taxes are collected coercively. Or can any one of us say that they voluntarily pay taxes? Which means that the state is financed through coercion, and that the higher the tax burden, the higher the coercion, and the lower the freedom.
Very good point there. He also stated that we are now in the best time in the history of humanity, attributing this achievement to free market capitalism. He questioned the growing inclination towards socialism, which he criticized for having murdered over 100 million human beings. He says it should never be forgotten that socialism is always and everywhere an impoverishing phenomenon that has failed in all countries where it's been tried out. It's been a failure economically, socially, culturally, and it also murdered over 100 million human beings. He strongly denounced intrusive state interventions with respect to the free market and argued that market failures do not exist without the presence of coercive forces. In his final remarks, Milei imparted a powerful message to the business community, urging them not to be intimidated by the power wielded by the state. Let's take a listen.
I would like to leave a message for all business people here and for those who are not here in person but are following from around the world. Do not be intimidated either by the political caste or by parasites who live off the state. Do not surrender to a political class that only wants to stay in power and retain its privileges. You are social benefactors, you're heroes, you're the creators of the most extraordinary period of prosperity we've ever seen. Let no one tell you that your ambition is immoral. If you make money, it's because you offer a better product at a better price, thereby contributing to general well-being. Do not surrender to the advance of the state. The state is not the solution. The state is the problem itself. You are the true protagonists of this story. And rest assured that as from today, Argentina is your staunch, unconditional ally. Thank you very much, and long live freedom. Damn it.
As with all systems and processes throughout time, the free market left to its own devices can be interwoven into government, and exponential growth and monopolization of markets creates entities such as the Black Rocks, the State Streets, and the Vanguards, which I'm sure most would agree are a threat to the free market and paint the illusion of freedom of choice when you think that choosing between one of two major brands is choice, but in reality they're owned by the same people. The only solution really is absolute transparency in the free market so that the consumers make a clear decision as to who they would like to support. Now, whilst much of what Milei said on the surface is very positive and welcome, we must also keep in mind that we're living in a time where there is immense scrutiny of elected leaders or those to potentially be elected. That means many more people are politically involved and looking at potential leaders under a microscope. This level of scrutiny and accountability is absolutely required, as many potential leaders may say things that are popular to the majority of people rejecting globalist ideas and models, and yet do something completely different once elected. This certainly is the case with Javier Milei. It was widely reported during his time of campaigning that he intended to rescind Argentina's participation in the Paris Agreement after calling climate change a hoax. Except, after his election, he decided Argentina would remain part of the Paris Agreement. The Paris Agreement is an extremely vague and far from solutions-driven document. It is a document that has been the driver for radical policies driven by governments through private businesses to achieve the anti-human, anti-prosperity and anti-freedom Agenda 2030 goals. Apart from the fact that it's being used for things like encouraging people to eat bugs, it is a global financial profiteering model where businesses and governments end up getting richer from the climate change hoax. All of the businesses and governments that are supporting the Paris Agreement's desire to reach what they call net zero have been profiting quite a bit from their support of the agenda. As they continue to subscribe to the climate agenda, DEI and various other UN-driven goals, they continue getting funding from BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street and so on, even if the people stop supporting the businesses. Now, why am I explaining all of this? Well, Argentina's new top climate diplomat told Reuters that Milei is going to remain part of the Paris Agreement on climate change despite the leader's past comments that global warming is a hoax. Veteran climate diplomat Marcia Levaggi said that she has the full support of the new government, which sent her as head of the Argentinian delegation to the United Nations COP28 climate talks underway in Dubai in December of last year. In fact, she arrived at COP28 just as Milei was being inaugurated in Buenos Aires. This is why I came to this COP, to reassure our party stakeholders and people following the process that Argentina will stay committed to the Paris Agreement. We will honour all our environmental agreements, Levaggi said. She went on to say Milei is a liberal, he's a libertarian, and he believes in market forces, and the market demands to include measures to address climate change. So Milei believes in including measures to address climate change within businesses who are already pushing the UN bogus agenda, then proceeds to Davos to tell those businesses that Argentina is their staunch, unconditional ally. Now let me expressly state here that while further enabling corporations that support Agenda 2030 that push things like the climate change agenda absolutely may not be the case as far as Milei's intentions, the fact remains that he broke a promise from his presidential campaign on literally day one, backflipping as soon as inauguration day, and that is a serious cause for concern. The people of Argentina should be demanding answers. Well, our top story this week adds to the evidence of multiple governments and agencies around the world knowing that the COVID injections were causing harm, but have actively worked to hide this information from the public. A new expose by the Epoch Times shows that the CDC drafted an alert for myocarditis and COVID-19 vaccines, but never sent it. The US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, prepared to alert state and local officials to an emerging connection between heart inflammation and COVID-19 vaccines, but ultimately did not send the alert, according to a new document obtained by the Epoch Times. All four COVID-19 injections that are or have been available in the US can cause the heart inflammation or myocarditis, according to studies, experts, and agencies like the CDC. The first cases were reported shortly after the vaccines became available in late 2020. The CDC sends alerts to federal, state, and local public health officials and doctors across the nation through a system called the Health Alert Network, or HAN. Messaging through the system conveys what they call vital health information, according to the CDC. In May of 2021, CDC officials drafted an alert on myocarditis and the two most widely used COVID-19 shots, according to the newly obtained document, which is being made public for the first time by the Epoch Times. This is the most recent draft of an alert, as discussed. Happy to discuss. Dr. Daskalakis, the CDC's top official for equity in COVID-19 data and engagement, told two other high-ranking CDC colleagues in the email. It was titled Draft Alert on Myocarditis and mRNA Vaccines. BioNTech and Moderna vaccines are made with modified messenger RNA technology, and the draft alert was attached to the email. The Epoch Times is working to acquire the draft alert. This censorship of a proposed alert in May of 2021 is just more examples, or one more example, I should say, of our regulatory agency's repeated pattern of behavior to censor any information that serves to counter the narrative that the COVID-19 vaccinations are, quote, safe and effective. Dr. Joel Welskog, co-chair of the Vaccine Injured Advocacy Group React 19, told the Epoch Times via email. The CDC started receiving reports of post-vaccination myocarditis in January of 2021 and either failed to detect or ignored a safety signal for myocarditis and the mRNA shots the following month, previous reporting from the Epoch Times showed. The agency also hid a warning from Israel, the country that first vaccinated young people who face the highest risk of myocarditis from COVID-19 vaccination. You can see a copy of that email linked in the article on the Vigilant News Network from the Epoch Times. Henry and John, this is the most recent draft of an alert as discussed. Happy to discuss. And you can see here the subject is draft alert on myocarditis and mRNA vaccines. This may well be one of the worst examples of withholding information that could save lives. If this was exposed in the appropriate manner at the time, many lives could have been saved, including children who've suffered as a result of their parents being convinced by authorities that these injections were safe when the CDC clearly knew they were not. So the world finds itself in a precarious position. We have agencies like the CDC who are known to have withheld life-saving information and life-saving medication from the public during what they say was a pandemic. We have the World Health Organization and Co. preparing for a new pandemic, one that they say vaccines will be needed for again, one where they say a digital ID will be used to track whether you've been injected perpetually or not. But one thing is clear. People's compliance with the COVID injection mandates driven by fear made much of the achievement of these plans possible. With the amount of people awake or awakening to this global control model, do we have a chance for everyone to simply say no this time around? Our bonus for you this week is a unique perspective from Dr. Tess Laurie about removing fear. Dr. Laurie is the director of EBMC Limited and the founding director of EBMC Squared CIC, a community interest research company. Her peer-reviewed publications have received in excess of 4,000 citations, and her ResearchGate score is among the top 5% of ResearchGate members. She's also uniquely positioned to comment on all of these issues as she is a former consultant to the World Health Organization. And she's the co-founder of the World Council for Health, which offers a better way. She's convinced that if people don't live in a place of fear, but rather are empowered, not only with the knowledge of what's happening, but also empowered with returning to sanity in living normal lives, they can make a difference. She joins us now to discuss. Dr. Tess Laurie, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks very much, Maria. It's been a while.
It has indeed. Well, in light of this, obsession right now with the entire world of what is disease X, what's coming down the pipeline, the WHO saying we really need to enter into this pandemic agreement so that we can prepare for a new pandemic, and what's happened, Dr. Tess, I'm sure you'd agree, is that the world has really said, we don't want anything to do with this. And this is a very, very timely interview because you've actually created a new model where the world doesn't have to do anything with this. So what are your thoughts on what they're setting us up for and how we really overcome this?
Maria, you know, we don't really know what's going on, do we? We at the moment, we're in a world where there are new things happening all the time, and we seem to no sooner be engaged and or distracted by one thing, and then we're engaged in another thing. And it's really quite frightening, I think, for most people. And this is really the modus operandi of the controllers, of those who are, you know, whatever it is, whether it's this military industrial complex the World Economic Forum or the whatever supranational entities seem to be, calling the tune at the moment. We just don't know what's going to come. So in terms of disease X, it's all speculation, in my opinion, and it could be something else that happens instead. But we do know there's this drive to concentrate power in the World Health Organization and those structures, so that we end up with a one world government dictating to us all what we should do. Now, the way that this is being brought about is through fear, and what one sees in social media and the media, the also the alternative media and all these you know, Telegram channels and all of that is actually perpetuation of the fear. So, you know, we have DiseaseX, and then there's all these, you know, angry faces. And I don't know if you've been on those channels, but, you know, so and we're, what you see is the world people stewing and ruminating over these things and trying to fight back. But what we're dealing with is you know, an AI Goliath, really, you know, a Goliath of some form, these supranational entities. And I don't think we're going to win by fighting in the trenches, you know, and we're not going to win by propagating fear. So, you know, with everybody saying, oh, disease X, what's coming, you know, this is going to be terrible, we must stop it. We need to stop being so reactionary. We need to not be reactionary. You can't beat fear with fear by spreading more fear. And so what you see with the health freedom movement groups is that they're getting smaller and smaller and more sort of, aggressive in a way and upset. And what we need to do is actually realize we just actually have to step away. You can't play the game. We need to step away from that place of anger and fear-based messaging, because nobody's going to come, you know, to the health freedom movement or come to our way of thinking if we keep making them afraid. That's the modus operandi of those that are trying to control us. So we need to actually say, well, what is it we want? What is it we are going to create? And then when you've decided what it is you want for yourself, be it a loving, happy family, healthy children, when you've decided that's what you want, then you've got to set about sorting how you're going to get there in your own life. And if we all do that and we all sort out and we all work on stepping away from fear in our own lives and making really practical changes, then and actually bringing more love into our lives and nature. Love is how we actually beat this, you know, or create the new. Then we are on a path that leads somewhere. There's no, just fighting back all the time does not lead anywhere, and it's exhausting. It's resource intensive, and it's not going to get anywhere, because what we're going through is not logical. It's not rational. This is really a crazy situation, an absurd situation, where the so-called authorities are just on some sort of mission to hell, you know, and to take us with them.
Can I ask you something, Dr. Laurie? Because in many ways I agree with you, but at the same time I think it's impossible to sort of carve out a better way if you don't understand the severity of the things that are happening. So how do you suggest that people stay positive and not afraid, but still informed and know that they need to prepare for certain things?
Yeah, I agree. So you have to know or have an understanding of the big picture. You know, so you can't just say, well, I'm not going to try and understand it, but make that not the focus of your day, and then trying to, you know, bring it back to yourself all the time. Like, what can I do? Because many people are unwittingly actually supporting these this globalist agenda. You know, if many people who are sending emails every day and posting things on Telegram, who probably have shares in Big Pharma, who probably, you know, have shares in weapons companies, and they're sort of, there's a sort of willful blindness because they're thinking about their pension and whatever. And so if we get people taking really practical steps and saying, do I want, you know, am I supporting this WHO constant, this one world government, by supporting these companies? Am I shopping at Amazon? Am I, you know, it's very convenient. So all these things that we've given away for convenience are there to enslave us. And if we keep supporting these things, then, you know, it's, people really need to realize now's the time where you have to sort of put your money where your mouth is. Wherever you put your money and your attention is very important. So if your attention is going to a convenience model, then you're on the way to enslavement. And no matter how much you scream and shout on your Telegram channels and feel outraged about what's happening, you know, you're part of the problem.
I certainly see where you're going with this, Dr. Laurie, because we are a convenience-based society, and often we wait until, you know, the saying, go woke, go broke. People wait until a company does something very offensive not to support them anymore. But in reality, that company's been, for example, a large supermarket chain, been robbing farmers out of business for how many years now? And so I think, you know, what you're talking about making a concerted effort to live independent lives free of globalist business models, if you will, or companies that are actually working towards enslaving humanity, those are very important choices. And the same goes in the medical field as well. You know, which medical organizations are we going to align with? I think that's where the World Council for Health really comes in here.
Well, I'd like to just say, you know, you might think that we're a medical organization, but we are a health advocacy organization. We are not coming in with, you must do this and you must do this, and we are the best and experts at this and that. What we are saying is we have a number of partners. We have grassroots partners who have expertise, and we draw on that information and we share it. So we really are messengers. We are messaging to the public how to take responsibility for their health and their self-determination. And this will ultimately lead to and facilitate new health systems. So I know that we don't have a lot of time for this interview, but what I do want to just share with the public is that we have, and I want to give a shout out to our World Council for Health Australia partners. We have many coalition partners in Australia, I think at least 13, and we are in the process, I'll give you a little heads up, the process of establishing a World Council for Health Australia. Now, this is absolutely key to our strategy. You'll see the World Health Organization concentrating power and saying, you know, we're the dictator, our director general will tell the world what to do. Well, we are quite the opposite. And we believe that every individual is the foundation stone of the new world and of better health. And so we're in the process of decentralizing World Council for Health to establish country councils. There will be 194 country councils one day. We've got more than 20 now. And these country councils are responsible for their country health policy, their traditional approaches, cultural approaches to health, and they're responsible for empowering people to take control of their health in a preventive way. You know, looking at the root cause of disease rather than treating. You know, waiting, doing whatever you like to your body, and then looking for some pills or surgery to cut it out. So this is the way forward for health and for self-determination, because these councils are completely autonomous and their role is to decentralize further to their towns, to their communities, so that we can build from the grassroots up healthy communities. So the one approach is that on a national level, and the other is our campaign called the Great Free Set, which is to help people, because when you are faced with, okay, well, what do I want? I don't want this one world government. I don't like what's happening and I want them to stop what they're doing. What do I want? It might be overwhelming to think, how do I create what I want for myself and my family? And so that's aligned with a better way where I'm not stuck in a horrible job that I hate. I'm not on my phone all day long on a computer, you know, where I have family time and that sort of thing. Well, the Great Free Set is a gentle way to lead people into thinking and taking actions to get into a better way. You know, the other people say get out of the matrix. I'm not really sure that that's such a great terminology, but you know, to actually extract themselves from the system that seems to have its tentacles in every part of our lives and our children's lives, and it certainly has its eye on our children, this military industrial complex. So our message for this year, as I say, we've got the one strategy, which is the country councils. The other is the Great Free Set and really speaking to populations, the public, individuals, and getting out there at a grassroots level with community events and so on. But our overarching message for this year is that each and every person work on what has been spoiled. And that sounds like an old-fashioned kind of term, you know, being spoiled. But we've all been spoiled, spoiled in the true sense, in the sense of decay and degeneration. We've all kind of lost our way in a way. And working on what has been spoiled at an individual level is how we get to correcting what has been spoiled by corruption and the abuse of human freedom at a global level.
Well, I think that's very profound, Dr. Laurie. I think very, very important considerations for every single person, particularly because many people are living out their existence online more and more. And so much has been forgotten from the natural human experience, if you will. I just want to note some of these organizations that you mentioned from Australia. If people go to the World Council for Health Coalition Partners, you can actually click Coalition Partner Country and see that there are many, many countries on this list that you can find out which organizations are actually partners with the World Council for Health in your country as well. Dr. Laurie, what sort of final comments would you like to offer to people, and what should they know most, you know, in this coming year?
It's going to be a rocky ride. So, you know, I think a certain being at peace and accepting that it's going to be a challenging year. You know, take care of yourself, take care of your health, take care of your family, and follow our, you know, obviously everyone says follow our things, but we really are on Mondays, we have a session and we're trying to prepare people for what's to come, not just, you know, not just with the practical side of things like, how to detox from the COVID jabs. And that's not detox is actually, it's not just detox from COVID jabs, it's detox from loads of different things now that we're exposed to. And it's not just people who've been jabbed who need to detox. We all need to be detoxing. So so our message generally is detox stay calm, stay healthy, and get as much sunshine as you can.
I remember a time where we were told to stay indoors and not get any sunshine when it was very, very good for us and still is today. Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health, thank you so much for everything that you've done, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thank you very much, Maria. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Tess Laurie highlights here that we should live without fear. And whilst social media is a very important tool for sharing information, and in many ways there is no other way to get the truth out at all, we need to have a balanced approach and one that certainly isn't fearful. The time has come for those who see the truth to paint the picture of the world they want. We're here to help humanity do that. And that concludes Media Blackout for this week. Please make sure to share this broadcast everywhere and follow both Vigilant Fox and Vigilant News on X to stay up to date. And you can also find me on X at Z_media. That's Z with 3 E's _media. We'll see you next week. And until then, stay vigilant, stay informed. We'll be right back.